heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again. First off, my sincere thanks to Misha Johnson for filling in for me last week. I listened to the show, and she did such a great job. I mean, I knew she loved the Lord, and she was a media pro, but she just nailed it. Thanks, Misha. Well, it's nice to be back with you. Thanks for tuning in. The year is winding down to its close. I get excited around this time of the liturgical year. First off, we're just about to kick off a new liturgical year with my favorite liturgical season, Advent. But also, we always go out with a bang by celebrating, as we do this weekend, the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, a.k.a. Christ the King Sunday. What adjectives describe our Lord as King of the Universe? I think of words like glorious, majestic, powerful, magnificent, splendorous, and others like this. Mentally, I picture Jesus dressed in immaculate royal robes, seated on a large, high, and well-decorated throne. I think of angels and saints raising a hymn of transcendent praise, and every living creature bowing down to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then, in the midst of all this, our Sunday gospel comes crashing in. It's St. Luke's depiction of the crucifixion, the mockery of the crowd, and the urgent plea of St. Dismas, the penitent thief, crucified next to Jesus. Yeah, the glorious throne is a wooden cross. His only crown is one that pierces his brow, given to him in mockery. But that crown, soaked in Christ's blood, instantly surpasses the worth of all the most jewel-encrusted crowns that humanity can make. That cross, bearing the weight of the dying Jesus, is immediately catapulted in value above the richest of all royal thrones. His royal signet ring is a puncture wound that pierces his hands. His royal sash is a royal slash that opened his heart to the world. And it is here that we encounter the wonderful paradox of divine majesty. Because our Lord Jesus Christ rules over all as King of the Universe precisely by continuing to bear the marks of scorn and derision given to him in mockery by the very persons that he himself created. His kingship continues even today to be indelibly marked by his self-sacrificing love for all those who are actively seeking any king but him. As long as humanity endures in this mortal realm, the majestic, glorious kingship of Jesus is expressed only in service and sacrifice. Would you seek to reign with him? Then serve others. Sacrifice for their good. For that is the way of our King and his kingdom. Another great show on tap for us today. My thanks to Cammie, our producer, and putting together this show. National Vocations Awareness Week wrapped up earlier this month, but it's always vocation season in the church. Coming up, we'll check in again with Father David Bloom, director of the Office of Vocations in the Archdiocese, about the state of vocations and tips on how to talk with our children and grandchildren about answering God's call. Plus, we're talking about death. It's not an easy topic, but it's definitely necessary. Specifically, we're going to talk about how to plan for death and dying gracefully under the guidance of church teaching. And we sit down with Archbishop Hebda to talk about his pastoral letter and find out our role in it. You certainly do not want to miss that. That's what's coming up on the show today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of our show and give the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Please pray with me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, what a great time to be a young person, discerning a vocation here in the Archdiocese. I mean, there's so much information on the priesthood and the consecrated religious life, along with marriage and the single life. Well, here with an update on opportunities for people to ask questions and meet with others is Father David Bloom, Director of Vocations for the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. Welcome back to the show, Father Bloom.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Well, we just experienced National Vocations Awareness Week in early November, which I'm sure was fun for your office. What are some of the major fruits you've seen this past month or so in regard to vocational discernment opportunities?
Sure. You know, if I kind of look at the entire fall, we've just had a number of really great events. We had a wonderful event for women who are discerning their vocation, and that was at Dunroven Retreat Center. We had the Andrew Dinner, which is a dinner with the Archbishop, and nicely attended. And we also had 15 men participate in our vocations retreat a few weeks ago. That was down a little bit from previous years, but I think there's some very serious men on that retreat. More recently, I was able to get up to the University of Mary, and I was able to visit with six men from the Archdiocese who are discerning their vocation.
Wow, sounds like it's been a busy month and continues to be so. Let's pray that it continues for you and for the sake of the Archdiocese as well. Speaking of all these dinners and these events for helping young people discern their vocations and everything, what would you say is the primary goal of these events?
You know, I think if it's a good event, what it is going to do, it's going to help a young person to understand better the vocation that they're thinking about. And so if it's priesthood, we're going to have a seminarian there who's going to share his testimony. There's probably a priest, especially like at the Andrew Dinner, who's going to share a little bit about his path to priesthood. There's going to be some discussion of seminary, the process, the steps. And all of that helps, I think it really does help someone who is discerning, and it gives them kind of a broader perspective because, you know, this is not something that all of their friends are doing. They're not all thinking about priesthood. And so so this is something, a good event is going to help them understand what is my next step.
Yeah, and that's of such great importance, I would assume, for everybody in this environment, everybody who's in the midst of discerning a potential call to the priesthood or the religious life. And have you seen that these events truly are fruitful in terms of supporting and encouraging young people to discern that such a vocation?
Absolutely. It really is. You know, probably one of the best events, we support it. We don't actually run the event, but it's called the Vianney Visit. And in fact, it's taking place this week at St. John Vianney College Seminary. And at that event, guys come and they stay at the seminary on Thursday night and Friday night. They leave on Saturday. But it's an opportunity to see what really happens in the seminary. And to go to classes with the guys, to go to Mass, an opportunity for the sacraments, to see that these are just regular guys. And, you know, they want to be saints. They want to be holy. And most of the guys who attend there, I think, come away with a perspective that, you know, I could do this. I could go to the seminary. So I think that's a very important event.
More personally, as you serve the Archdiocese as the Director of Vocations, Father, just are you encouraged overall with the with numbers? Are there things that you would like to see more of? Is there anything that's currently going on that you would like to expand? Any plans and hopes and dreams for the future?
Well, you know, we always want more, don't we? You know, no matter what it is, we always kind of want more, and so. Every year, I think, Lord, thank you for all those who are stepping forward. And, you know, I don't want to be greedy, Lord, but if there's a few more out there, shake the tree, Lord. And I've noticed probably in the last 6 months, there seems to be a little bit of an uptick in the number of people inquiring about, support for discerning their vocation. Mm-hmm. Just in the last 3 days, I had 2 inquiries for men, both saying, I'd really love to come and visit with you. And so the calendar fills up, and it's very exciting. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful grace to be able to be with those who are discerning their vocation.
Well, and I'm sure that that's really helpful for them as well. I know that with these events, I mean, they're very important, and they offer the opportunities that you've already elaborated on. But really a personal connection where they can sit down and just kind of go through their own stories, right? And say, okay, this is what's happening to me, and looking for advice and counsel and guidance along the way. So I'm grateful for your role in that. Thank you, Father, for doing that. We are all grateful for that. Sure. But going back to the events for a moment, are there any events that practicing Catholic listeners could be a part of?
I guess we can always, every listener can always pray and be a part of everything and pray for every event and pray for every person who comes to anything that we are sponsoring. Mm-hmm. That's just, pray for those who are coming to the event, for safe travel, pray that they have a wonderful experience, pray for those who are presenting, and just pray for all aspects of whatever event is going on. I'd also point out, too, this is kind of on a lighthearted side, but there is an event in October. And now we've missed it for this year, but it's the football game between the seminaries. And it's usually on a Saturday night, probably the first Saturday of October. It's open to everyone. It's at the University of St. Thomas on the football field. Of course, it's this year, St. John Vianney Seminary defeated the St. Paul Seminary. And it was okay. A close game, and it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, well, I know that I've seen many social media posts about that game, and I think that's good that you're publicizing that and that's going on. It helps people, like you said, it's helped people to recognize that these young men who are in formation are ordinary human beings. They're ordinary young men, right? They like to play football, and they like to do that for the fellowship, for the competition, and for the good spirit that's involved in that. So I'm grateful for that as well. Well, backing up a little bit further, Father, what would you say is a good way of, if we're noticing that there may be some young people in our midst, what's a good way of beginning even the conversation of, this might be, have you ever considered something like that?
Right. I think it really is that simple. Just saying, Bob, I think I could see you as a priest. And have you ever thought about that? Now, you have to be genuine. And if you don't really believe that, please don't say it, But if you really do believe it, don't hold back. And that has a real impact. And then I would encourage people to encourage that young man to talk to his priest. If it's a young woman and you think that she's well suited for consecrated life, I would say, encourage them to contact a religious sister. But being genuine and encouraging them to take another step, I think, is really important. Now, they can also contact us through our website. It's 10,000vocations.org. And that's, we've got some good information there, and then they can get a hold of us too if they would like to.
That's really good to hear, and I'm glad that there's so many venues that way for people to explore a potential call to the priesthood or the religious life. Well, let's jump forward then from there a little bit and say they've they've said, well, I think maybe, and then maybe they attended one of these great events that you just talked about, and then they decide, well, yeah, I think I'll start down this path and see where it leads me. And so they begin formation. What can we do once they begin formation? How can we support the young men in formation for the priesthood or a young woman who's exploring the religious life?
You know, so much depends on prayer, and it really does. And I'm convinced that we could have 10 vocations events every week, but the most important thing, the most effective thing that we do is prayer. I often think that the Holy Spirit is the vocations director. I've just seen too many things happen where I realize, you know, I didn't actually make this happen. The Holy Spirit is working, and there are people praying. And I think that is the absolute key. So at any stage of discernment or in formation, I think prayer is really the key. You know, on a material or practical level as well, I would say that with Christmas coming up, you know, if you have seminarians in your parish, perhaps there's a organization within the parish that would like to reach out and do something for them. You know, but most of their needs are pretty well taken care of, generally. But there's that would be an opportunity.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Maybe just thinking about the ways that the enemy might try to dissuade a young man from discerning the priesthood or a young woman from discerning the religious life or something like that. What are some of the barriers that our culture places in front of young men and women who are discerning a call?
Well, as you know, and our listeners know as well, we live in a culture that is toxic to the faith. Mm-hmm. And so the general culture is not going to lift up, promote, and support vocations to the priesthood or to consecrated life. We have to do that. That's on us. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the barriers, there's many, but one of the obstacles can be that someone doesn't feel worthy. I'm a sinner, okay, and but you love the Lord, and you've received the sacraments, and you're seeking God. Keep seeking God. Keep seeking the Lord. And no, you're not worthy. If we had to be worthy, well, we wouldn't have very many priests or religious out there. So I think encouragement is really important that we give those who are discerning. And those who are in formation, and just say thank you for what you're doing in listening to the Lord and following Him.
Right, Father, my mind is cast back upon those boys and girls who are perhaps very young in terms of their, well, not only their physical and mental maturity, but also in terms of discerning a vocation. Yet, just recently, actually, and kind of a personal anecdote here, I showed a video about altar servers to some kind of young boys in training for serving at the altar. And one of the boys spoke up and he said, "That was just beautiful. It makes me want to be a priest." Now, this young man is actually in sixth grade. So, I mean, pretty young yet. So how can we, and maybe specifically, how can parents talk with their children, both girls and boys, about vocations?
I think it's really important for parents to just let their children know. And they can do it in probably 100 different ways, you know, but to just periodically let them know that if God called them to be a priest or consecrated as a religious brother or sister, they would be very happy to see the Lord lead them in that direction and that they would have their full support. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes guys come in and I'm visiting with them, and it's pretty obvious that mom or dad, or maybe both, really are not on board. They're not really too interested in their son being a priest. It makes it very hard. It makes it very difficult for them. They sense this call from the Lord, but there isn't that support from home. And I would just say, you know, just a gentle reminder here or there that we would support you 100%. If you decided to enter the seminary.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's helpful just to offer that support and be there. And I can imagine, as you say, that when mom or dad isn't on board, or if they think, well, I had other dreams for my son or my daughter, that's a real hardship on the young people as they're trying to figure out where the Lord has led them. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it is, especially when they're in high school. You know, when someone's a little bit older, they're 25 years old or something, they've graduated from college, they've kind of established themselves, then it's still, dad and mom and their influence is still very strong. Mm-hmm. But this young man, this young woman, they're kind of carving their path, they're listening to the Lord. And at that stage, it's a different matter.
Yeah. Yeah, well, very good. Well, only about a minute left here, Father, but wanted to ask you, any specific ways we can pray for you personally?
You know, I would just, I guess I would ask for you to pray for the staff of the Office of Vocations, that we would have wisdom in all the things we do, and pray for me that, that the Lord would continue to give me all the graces that I need to do the things that I'm doing.
Mm. Yeah, well, we can certainly do that. Before we let you go, Father, would you close us with a blessing, please?
Sure, absolutely. Lord, send forth your Holy Spirit on all those who are discerning their vocation. Lord, bless their parents, bless their families, give them the inspiration that they need. And I bless all those who are listening today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Father David Bloom. Amen. Father David Bloom, the Director of Vocations for the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. We're so grateful that you took time to join us again on the show, Father. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. God bless.
The website, again, to check out is 10,000vocations.org. That's 10,000vocations.org for more information. And don't forget to sit down and chat with your priest as well. By the way, you can also find the Office of Vocations on Instagram and Facebook. When we come back, we know that our time here on earth is limited. So, how do we prepare for a holy death? That's what's coming up next. Please stick around.
I don't think every Catholic really knows what the Church teaches and what the truth is. And that's why I thank God for venues like Relevant Radio, where you're teaching what God teaches.
We're here to help you. We're here to say, hey, this is where true happiness will be found. Here's the truth about marriage. Here's the truth about life. Here's the truth that will bring you fulfillment. And you're not going to find that any other place than in Jesus Christ. And Relevant Radio's whole mission is to make sure that message reaches you and souls who perhaps are really blinded by the great deception of our day, by the culture. If you really want to change your culture, keep Relevant Radio booming.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. From the Holy Days to Sunday readings, Mother Church provides us with ample opportunities in November to contemplate our mortality. It's a gift because, as Catholic Christians, we know that this earthly life is not our final destination. Now, it may not be a topic we seek out, but we do need to have conversations about death. Joining us today to help us to do just that and to invite us to a special event is Amy Miller, author of Last Life Lesson, A Guide for Aging Adults and Their Families. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Hello, welcome. Thank you so much.
And we also have Kevin Gerrans, a member of the St. Joseph Business Guild, which is sponsoring the upcoming retreat workshop, Abundance in Life and Death. Welcome to you too, Kevin.
Thank you, Patrick. Great to be with you.
Very good. Well, it's good to have you both with us. Amy, let's start with you. Why is it important to talk about aging and death?
It is important because your loved ones need to know what to do. And that's why I call it the Last Life Lesson. There's a scripture, I think it's John 5:19, says the son doesn't know what to do unless the father teaches him. I think that's paraphrased a little bit. But that's where we get to teach our faith by what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no argument for me there. Yeah, absolutely. Now, this upcoming retreat / workshop, I want to get into that. Abundance in life and death. It's kind of a unique retreat topic, I would think. So what inspired this event that is part workshop and part retreat?
It is actually the Saturday after Thanksgiving. So when we think of how we celebrate the blessings we get from Thanksgiving and everything that God provides for us, our whole lives are about the blessings that God provides for us, our families, our vocations, our just our life experiences. And how do we pass that on? So that's where we bring that together. The other thought is when I discovered this topic, it was actually at the World Day of the Sick that happened in February of 2019. And it was there that healthcare professionals shared that they were having some challenges with their patients. And one of them is going into the emergency room alone without having a healthcare directive. And then the other one is going into their doctor appointments alone. So this is something they're seeing in our daily lives. And they're like, how do we fix this? As Catholics, how do we protect our faith and promote that we are in community for these topics? So that's the reason why we wanted to get this event out to the community, is to let people know that they have their faith, they have their community, and together we can find a way forward through this time.
Yeah, very good. And we'll get into the details of the day coming up here. But first, Kevin, I wanted to ask you, why did the St. Joseph Business Guild decide to take this on?
Excellent question. I'm always happy to speak on the mission and vision of the Guild. So we're a group of professionals and business persons. We really want to make sure that we're shoring up our Catholic economy to the extent we can, all with the mind of taking care of our parishes, schools, and families. So this is a real opportunity to bring in member businesses that might cater to a group that really needs help, and also kind of extend the call it mutual aid opportunity of the Guild. So we really want to take the economic and business energies and all the various experience and specialties that exist out there, especially in our archdiocese, and find a way that we can leverage the collective a power that we have that's, I think, really untapped to basically make it a more robust economic structure, network, if you will. And this is kind of low-hanging fruit where we have people who really need help, and we have businesses that can definitely enrich their lives for however many years they have yet to come, and ultimately preparing for that final end, which is something that we also look to inform, obviously, everything we do. So it's really taking that the richness of the Catholic faith, as well as, you know, the opportunity that November affords us to focus on our mortality and to provide a real service to the greater, especially Catholic community.
Yeah. And there are certainly both spiritual and practical things that need to be addressed when we're talking about aging and nearing death and the process of getting ready to die. And that's something that I think we all need to focus on. So here are the details, and either one of you correct me if I get any of this wrong, but this is Abundance in Life and Death. Is the title of the workshop. It's a practical preparation workshop / retreat supporting the latter stages of the journey from the journey to eternity, and it's Saturday, November 26th, 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at Holy Family Catholic Church in St. Louis Park. And I believe there's a $49 registration fee, but that includes a resource book that itself is valued at $30, a light breakfast, lunch, and a number of great presentations, and even more. So, Amy, talk to me a little bit more about what the presentations are going to focus on.
We are excited to have some of the local leaders, I believe, in this space. Everyone from Joe Langfeld with Human Life Alliance to John Worley with
Steinhagen and Christ is the law firm.
Thank you. and he's a preeminent probate attorney. We have Roger Vasco, who is the founder of the Guild, and Father David Hottinger, who will be leading us in that spiritual journey of what is natural death. And I'll be wrapping it up with talking about what's family and community. So it's going to be a lot of conversation. After every talk, we have a chance for some small group conversation. So if people are looking for to meet other people who might be on this journey themselves, and so they have that personal connection with people in the community, there's going to be time to build that. There'll be time to have a chance to meet the guild members and to, you know, maybe do some personal introspection. And the whole day will actually be wrapping up if people are interested in going to confession. So we're very really excited about having this opportunity at Holy Family Church in St. Louis Park to support this event.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin, let me ask you, any insights into some of the advice that folks might receive should they attend in regard to financial planning or family-related planning?
Well, everything, by and large, I would leave to the august authority of our venerable speakers. So I'd say you'll get kind of intimate presentations from each of them. So I can't speak particularly to the insight or authority that they would lend. Maybe I'd pitch that one back to Amy. But we do want to make sure that as we hit home in the kind of title and the promotional materials, that the idea is to make this practical, so it's not just airy, vague advice, but really information that people can take, apply to their situation, and also get connected to the various professionals who will either be presenting or tabling at the event.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. We're speaking with Amy Miller and Kevin Gerrans about Abundance in Life and Death, a practical preparation workshop supporting the later stages of the journey to eternity. It's going to take place Saturday, November 26th, 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at Holy Family Catholic Church in St. Louis Park. Amy, let me ask you, who is there? Well, it seems to me since we're all going to be facing this at some point anyway, and quite frankly, many of us have loved ones who are nearing the stage where they are just about to take this journey into eternity. So anybody who, I guess, shouldn't attend the event, it seems like it's appropriate for almost everybody.
We are gearing this towards people who are 45 and up.
Okay.
And the reason for that is we find that a lot of adult children are not ready for this conversation. They're not living it. Especially if they have lived out of town or haven't seen their loved ones, let's say in the last couple of years, which is kind of shocking to think of, or even just in the last couple of months. Thanksgiving's coming up, and your chances of seeing your loved ones, you might be going, we might need to start this conversation. And that's the universal question I get asked is, how do we start this conversation? Mm-hmm. If you're at Thanksgiving and you're seeing your loved ones, your family members, and you're saying, well, what do? We really encourage this as a great way to say there's an event coming up, and bring the family, bring your best friend. And then for those who are maybe aging alone and they go, who can help me? This is a great opportunity to come in and get some of those answers that you are seeking and to meet people who can help you with this process.
All right. Well, sounds good. Well, why don't you give us the details on how people can find out more and register to come, Amy?
It is tickets are available at ourfamilyencounter.com/workshop.
Okay. All right. Very good. And there's more information there. There's you can learn more about the you can see who the presenters are. You can get the event schedule there as well, and you can sign up to come. Well, I'm excited and I'm hopeful that there are many people who sign up for this, and actually that it bears eternal fruit in helping people get ready to make that journey into eternity. Let me ask just a brief kind of summary question here, as we've only got a couple minutes remaining. But Kevin, how would you encourage people to come?
Well, one, check out the site that Amy said. And by the way, it's ourfamilyencounter.com/workshop. And then also get in touch, check out the St. Joseph Business Guild. So our site is sjbusinessguild.com. And there really is a wealth of information. We tried to make it as easy as possible through either ourfamilyencounter.com or through the St. Joseph Business Guild's website to get the extensive event information, you can also reach out to Amy at amy@ourfamilyencounter.com, or you can also send a question my way if you have any, and my address is info@sjbusinessguild.com.
Wonderful. Well, Amy Miller, Kevin Gearns, we're so grateful that you took the time to be with us on Practicing Catholic today. I hope the event goes extraordinarily well and that people, again, are emboldened but also empowered to help their loved ones and help themselves for that that inevitable journey that we all must take. Thank you for joining us on the show. God bless you both.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
Again, for workshop details, visit ourfamilyencounter.com/workshop. And the St. Joseph Business Guild is online at sjbusinessguild.com. And for more faithfully Catholic resources on end-of-life issues like guides and presentations, go over to rtspm.org and click on Your Faith, Your Life right there on the home page. From there, click on the Life and Human Dignity button. Well, up next on Practicing Catholic, Archbishop Hebda is here to talk to us about his pastoral letter just released this weekend. Learn how you're being asked to be involved in the renewal of our local church. We'll be right back.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Thank you so much for all that you do for all of us. And you touch all of our lives in so many ways, and probably ways you don't realize. I've been a listener for over 10 years, and it's amazing.
Powered by you, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
What do you think the greatest act of love that we could do right now would be? I think it is to help other people know Jesus Christ. Well, how can I do that? Well, it's simple. You know, you invite people. You talk about your faith. You share things. You don't have to do it perfectly. And then the other thing you need to do is you need to support organizations who are doing good work, like Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Verthum, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. Well, as we wrap up the liturgical year this weekend, we also launched the all-important phase of synod evangelization, fleshing out all the wonderful priorities that have emerged as priorities for our continued growth as an archdiocese, under the guidance, of course, of Archbishop Hebda's pastoral letter released this weekend. Our new editor-in-chief of the Catholic Spirit, Joe Ruff, sat down with our chief shepherd for his thoughts on the letter and the path forward. Let's listen.
Well, praise God. After 3 years of tireless work at the hands of many volunteers, employees of the Archdiocesan Catholic Center, and of course our bishops, the culmination of the synod is here. Archbishop Hebda's synodal pastoral letter has been released this weekend of the Solemnity of Christ the King. For those listening on Saturday, you'll be able to find it now at archspm.org/synod-letter. Taking the time out of his busy schedule to join us today is our humble shepherd himself, Archbishop Bernard Hebda. Archbishop, what an honor to speak to you during this momentous time.
Joe, I'm thrilled to be talking with you about this letter as well. You're right, it's been a long time in the coming, and that we've been working for 3 years. In so many ways, though, our work is only now beginning as the letter comes out, and we have to begin to implement what we heard during the synod. So you're right, that is, this is a momentous time, but it really is ushering in a time of even greater work. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Is there a significance, Archbishop, to releasing it on the weekend of Christ the King?
Well, it's just, we certainly always want to have our eyes fixed on Jesus. That certainly has been a recurring theme throughout our synod preparations. We want to make sure that everything that we're doing as an archdiocese leads people to Christ, and that we're able to make Jesus known and loved throughout our archdiocese. And so it seemed appropriate that a weekend that holds up Jesus as our King would be an appropriate time. And I think that people were thinking as well that it was a way of making sure that I got my work done too, Joe, right? So they gave me a deadline of this great feast, this solemnity. So it seems appropriate that we would be offering everything that we do to Christ, and this is a fitting time for that.
Certainly, this is a momentous time in part because, indeed, the letter is in the hands of the faithful. And now we get to look at its contents and try to understand how it will be implemented. How might people see this? Our practicing Catholic listeners and others within their parishes, how will they see it kind of hit the ground?
Yes. So as you mentioned, Joe, it's already available online. We're hoping people will also have the opportunity to have a hard copy in their hands. That will depend on their pastors. And the Archdiocese will be collaborating with each parish, too, and how it is that we might be able to do that. But my great hope is that people will take the time to read. It's a little bit on the long side, Joe. I have to apologize for that before people even have the chance to read it. But we think that after 3 years, that it's a fitting document, and it's certainly something that can be read in bite-sized bits as well. You know, so we're hoping that people will take that opportunity to hear what it is that I heard in the course of the synod, and to understand how I've tried to make sense of what we've heard, and how it might be something that sets us on a path for moving forward together. You know, one of the great insights that I've certainly had, and really the church has been hearing so much about from Pope Francis, is the importance of journeying together. And that's really where we get that word synod. And it had a very concrete canonical perspective in the 3 years that we were preparing for the synod assembly. But now it speaks much more to the way in which we relate to one another, that we're going to be listening to one another, and as we listen to one another, striving to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Though, as I was mentioning, and in a lot of ways, this document is just the introduction for us to go further and to have those opportunities to really listen to one another in the faith, and even to get feedback on what people are reading and how they see it moving them forward. You know, the first area where most of our parishes will be seeing some action and hearing about has to do with each pastor being asked to call together the 12. And it's not always literally 12, but it's that sense of just as Jesus called together the 12 apostles, so we're asking each parish to put together a team that would be really focused on implementing the synod by working on evangelization. So these are people that either work for the parish, or that they're volunteers who are part of the parish and who have a gift for evangelization. But we're hoping that already right after the first of the year, that those teams would be coming together, that we'll be giving them the training that they need in collaboration with the Catechetical Institute and the Catechetical Institute's School of Discipleship. And then it'll be that small team that then acts as a catalyst for moving the pastoral letter priorities forward in the parish in a way that offers some standardization throughout the Archdiocese. This will be going on in every one of our parishes, and at the same time allowing the parish to also recognize what are the distinct parts of parish life. How is it that we're able to really center the priorities of the pastoral letter into the life of this parish? One of the things that I've experienced is that each of our parishes is very distinct. So there are some commonalities, but we also have a lot of individualism, independence in parish life. And so we want to be respectful of that as well. But we're trusting that the same Holy Spirit that guided us throughout these 3 years will now be guiding the pastors and his evangelization teams and the people of the parish in moving forward. But we're hoping that there's going to be good give and take with the parishioners as they encounter the pastoral letter, so that there'll be opportunities to share with me and then also with their pastors and their evangelization teams.
There seems to be some real inspiration there of providing support and providing some structure, but also giving parishes the opportunity to make this plan work for them as an entity in the church.
Well, I'm certainly very hopeful about that, Joe. You know, one of the difficulties, especially when you're talking about something for 3 years, is you hear so many great ideas. And so the most difficult part of this work has been, how do we figure out what are the first steps? What are the priorities? What are those things that, even recognizing that there's plenty of other stuff that's important, how is it that we take these first steps together that will enable us to go even further and to continue the discernment? And so that's ultimately what the pastoral letter was about, and then also what we will be experiencing in these first years.
For the average person sitting in the pew each Sunday, but also for the one who's maybe feeling a bit fallen away, what's waiting for them and the contents of this pastoral letter? What hope or inspiration might they find there?
Yes. So I'm hoping that they experience our church as being guided by the Spirit, and that they're willing to use their gifts to help build up the church and to respond to that Holy Spirit in a very concrete way. As I mentioned, you know, for those who have been called together to be part of the 12 of this evangelization team, it's going to have an immediate impact on their lives. But as we look a little bit forward and look to our priorities in moving forward, we're really hoping that the people in our pews are going to be able to be trained in the ministry of small groups, that would be happening in the fall of 2023. And then as a result of that kind of training, that we might see a real expansion of small group ministry in each of our parishes right after the new year of 2024. And that, Joe, is what really excites me, because I think small groups, as we've had some experience of, and we've seen in other dioceses and in other settings, really has the opportunity to address both those people who are always in the pew and also those people who may have drifted or may feel some alienation distance from the institutional church. It's a way of making a universal church present in a much more human way. Even in our small parishes, sometimes it can seem that an individual might feel that the approach is impersonal, or that the pastor doesn't know them, or the parishioners don't know them. But we're hoping that as we really move forward with this first item, this first priority of small groups, that we might be changing that, and in a way that also gives us new ways of delivering great content, but also reminding people of how the Holy Spirit's moving in the church and giving them a personal relationship that makes the church not just some theoretical entity, but something that's much more concrete as they begin to develop relationships with a small number of parishioners or like-minded people, or even strangers with whom they're willing to share their stories. So for me, that first item of small groups is going to really be so important in moving this forward. And then as we look to the questions, you know, at the Synod, there was a much voting in favor of education on the Mass. We know there's a great love for the Eucharist, but that desire to know more about the Mass is something that we're going to really strive to assist with in the second set of priorities for the whole archdiocese that will be lived out in the parish. And then the third year would be how it is that we can help parents in their task as being the first educators of the faith. So they're all related to what we heard at the Synod. You know, all received a good number of votes in terms of the propositions that were voted upon at the Synod. And we think that this will give us a way, at least for these first 3 years, to begin in a reasonable way to address those things.
Now we have the letter in our hands. It's available on the internet. We can go to it, step away from it, how might you encourage people to really pray with it, Archbishop?
Yes, you know, we were mindful of trying to include lots of scripture quotations and lots of quotations from the Second Vatican Council and other items from the Magisterium. So I think that we've divided this into bite-sized pieces that people could easily take to prayer, especially the scripture verses, and allow the in the midst of their prayer to figure out how it is that the Holy Spirit is inviting them to be part of what we're doing in the Archdiocesan Church and trying to get some kind of a response. But we're really hoping that people will talk about this with their spouses, with their kids, with their parents, in a way that helps us to discern further how best we can move forward to be that witnessing church that we know Jesus wants his church to be. We use throughout the pastoral letter, Joe, the image of the upper room where the Lord not only washed the feet of the disciples, but he introduced them to the Eucharist and commanded that we do this in memory of him. And then that's also where he sent down the Holy Spirit upon us as well. So we want to make sure that we're always mindful of how it is that the Lord is calling us to service, to the washing of feet, how it is that he's calling us into communion through the Eucharist and the other sacraments, and then always to have a sense for how the fire of Pentecost can be lived out more fully in our Catholic life.
That's a lot to pray about. How might we pray for you this month, Archbishop?
Yes. So, I mean, I've always been asking people to help me to listen well, and so that in terms of the responses that we get to the pastoral letter, that we might be able to respond well to that, that I might be able to do that. I also would ask that that I might also be able to engage in that ongoing discernment. You know, the pastoral letter gives us a framework. There's still so much to be determined about how concretely things are going to move forward. Much of the pastoral letter reflects the fact that I believe that for most people, it's at the parish that we encounter Christ and his church. And so it's very parish-oriented. But at the same time, there's a lot of room for support coming from the archdiocese. And so in those prayers for me, that it would be that I would be able to discern how best we can support our pastors and lay faithful in our parishes in bringing forward the vision of the synod. But it's in that supporting work that I know the archdiocese can do. So some of it will be structural. We've already been, and we will, and you can see in the letter how it is that we've begun some new offices, how we've resurrected some others, but how it is that we're hoping to be able to be of support to our pastors and parishes as they bring this forward.
It's an amazing document.
Thank you.
Well, this is truly an exciting time to be part of our local church, and I want to thank you, Archbishop, for making it so. And I want to thank you for your time today.
Well, you're most welcome, Joe. You know, it's only possible because of the great response that we had when we invited people to come and to our prayer and listening events or to the parish consultations with small groups. And really, and then the amazing work that took place at the Synod Assembly. So I was happy to be able to invite people into that kind of collaboration, but it's only been successful because of the great response that we received. And so know how grateful I am for that. And that makes me excited about what can happen in our church.
Thank you, Archbishop. And I want to remind our listeners, keep an eye on our Archdiocesan social media pages for links to view the pastoral letter in its entirety, along with insights into what's coming up next and how to stay involved with the Synod in the coming weeks and months. Our handle is at ArchdiocesePM on both Instagram and Facebook, so be sure to give us a follow. And thank you again, Archbishop. God bless you.
Thank you, Joe. God bless you and your listeners.
And if you're listening on Saturday, the letter is out now. Visit archspm.org/synodletter to read it for yourself. Please pray for Archbishop and all synod leadership within our parishes. Stick around. We'll be back shortly with some exciting offerings from around the Archdiocese. We'll be right back.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
When you can hear other people's stories of faith, stories of struggles, really helps me in my faith to know that I'm not alone. It doesn't matter where we are across the miles. We're all together as part of the body of Christ. That station has really blessed my life.
You just never know what you're going to hear on Relevant Radio that's going to help you on your path to heaven, to take you to that next level spiritually. There's always something new every single day with all of our hosts, with the three priests who answer your questions every day, with the other guests that we have. Your donation goes a long way to touching souls.
Donate now on the Relevant Radio website or app. Or give us a call, 1-877-291-0123. That's 1-877-291-0123.
When you call, ask about making a recurring gift. There are benefits for both you and for Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Practicing Catholic. So grateful that you've tuned in for the show today. I just heard Joe Ruff saying the handle for the Archdiocese on social media is Archdiocese SPM. Don't forget the handle for Practicing Catholic, which is Practicing Catholic Show. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and all that sort of thing. Special asked, please do read that pastoral letter as it comes out Saturday, this Saturday, November 19th at archspm.org/synodletter. Check out the Archdiocese on social media for videos of the Archbishop explaining parts of the letter. You know, we're very grateful to have such a strong shepherd within our local church, aren't we?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, certainly is right. Well, as we just heard from Kevin and Amy, we've got this Abundance in Life and Death workshop coming up Saturday, November 26th. Join members of the St. Joseph Business Guild as you receive practical, pastoral, and real support in the face of aging and dying. It's a real topic that is rather unique to this workshop retreat format, so don't miss it. You can find out more at archspm.org/events.
And hey, have either of you seen those pictures floating around on social media from last month's Koryesu event?
Yeah, I did see
it
that.
It was just amazing. It was so well attended.
Yeah.
So many Catholics from around the Archdiocese all gathered together on that one night. Well, luckily for all of us, the next one is happening December 2nd at the St. Paul Seminary this time.
Well, if so many people show up, they're not going to have room for them at the seminary.
I feel like that's a good problem to have. That's a pretty good problem.
That is a good problem to have. You're right.
The night will include adoration, confession, praise and worship with other young adults, and Father David Bloom, who we just spoke with, will be presiding.
And can you believe Advent is just a week away?
I'm so excited.
I know you are. Our friends at the Catholic Spirit have been compiling a calendar of all the unique events happening within our local church, Christmas markets or Advent markets for you, Patrick.
That's right. That's right. Advent markets.
Bake sales, specialty boutiques, dinners, and so much more. It's at thecatholicspirit.com/calendar.
I'm going to check that out. I think our listeners know that I'm not living in the Archdiocese anymore, but man,
I thought you'd boycott it since it's Christmas markets.
Well, see, I might show up and I'll just have Advent markets running through my head.
There you go.
That's what I'm going to do. I think that's what I'm going to do. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Well, you can find more information on all these events. And as well as, you know, Lifeline's coming back. Net's bringing back Lifeline. Ooh. And especially Lifeline Latinamente is coming up on December 2nd. Check that out. archspm.org/events. And you can also follow Archdiocesan social media pages for helpful Advent content beginning. Yeah, well, it's already coming up here, so check that out. Hey, let's do another show next week.
Okay.
All right. So Thanksgiving's coming up, as you know. Practicing Catholic, we are going to lean into becoming grateful, gratitude. Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. And then after that, the Xavier Society for the Blind offers resources and materials for the visually impaired. And lastly, we're going to hear about all the life-saving opportunities for women facing crisis pregnancies with our friends at Options for Women East. That's all coming up on the show next week, but so grateful that you tuned in for the show this week. Hope you have a blessed week. In the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.